This is a Dog Guide Handlers Australia audio presentation.
Okay, thanks everybody for being prompt back. Hope you enjoyed the morning tea. My name is Rowena. I'm very pleased to introduce to you Andy Roberts, who is a Tellington T-Touch instructor. For those of you that were at our last conference in Adelaide, we had a wonderful session then. I'll let Andy tell you about her qualifications, experience, and an overview of the T-Touch technique, and then we will be having a hands-on session with our dogs. So there's a towel and your chairs put down on the floor. Please unharness your dogs, get them on the towels, and Andy and our volunteers will be going around helping you to show the technique, how to massage your dogs. Sorry everybody, just be quiet. Thank you. At the last 10 minutes of the session before we go to lunch, Rebecca, our events coordinator, would just like to have a word to the group, and we'll take that time to give the hotel a very sincere thank you for all of their staff who have gone above and beyond to make us an outdoor program. So that will be the last few minutes of the session. So, meanwhile, I'd like to say thank you very much to Andy for coming today from right across Sydney, and we're fascinated to learn a little bit about the Tellington T-Touch technique and to try it on our dogs, because our dogs, being working dogs, do live at a higher level of stress and anxiety than the general cat population. And I think it's a great way to bond with your dog and help relieve their anxiety and also probably yours as well. I think a touch technique for any animal is such a valuable thing to know, and this will give you some strategies and skills for how you can interact therapeutically with your dog. So thank you, Andy.
Thank you, you're very welcome. You might have noticed that the dogs are facing front because at the moment I'm at my feet, I have my working dog. She's not real. Her name is Sally, courtesy of my grandchildren, naming all my dogs, and this is Sally. The dogs know that she's here. She smells of my dogs because she lives with my dogs. So this is Sally, and Sally is well used to being detached. That's why she's so well behaved. Now, one thing I'd like to say at the beginning, I personally don't think I have an accent. I've only been here since 1966, so I've still got a few years to go before I can change it. If I say something and you don't understand it, would you please put your hand up and ask me to repeat it? Because I don't hear my accent except when I've got this thing in my hand. It's rather annoying. My accent, I mean. So, T-Touch, how did I get into T-Touch? Well, I got into T-Touch in about 1988-89. I've been a dog trainer all my adult life. I've always had dogs around me, and sometimes they are my preference of companions. I'm sure you can all relate to that. So I got into this and I went with a group, another five ladies who belonged to our dog training club, and we decided to get really fed up with the way dogs were trained. We insisted on putting choke chains on them, and you notice I call them choke chains, not check chains. I do that quite deliberately because I believe that's what they are. And we decided we didn't like the way dog training was going, the way the dogs were constantly pulled and jerked around. We decided we would try and change it. And we went to this meeting this night. This lady stood on the floor in front of us. We were all stacked up on chairs, you know, like these stands are. And she showed us how to do this Tellington T-Touch method. And to me, it was like as though the door opened. And suddenly, I saw, shall we speak of contact with dogs? And from that day on, my life with dogs changed. I realized that I found a method that could make me communicate with dogs that was something so different. So the five of us, six of us went back, and for a year and a half we played with methods of changing the dog world in Australia, and we succeeded. We developed a program called the Canine Good Citizen, and with the Animal Welfare League we went into production, if you like, and started having seminars, and we had the first ever conference for the Canine Good Citizen. I think it was in 1989 or 1990, and we got loved that. We got all that because we were different. And T-Touch Ball, that was a little boy. That was a bit spooky. Ooh, this stuff with your hands that you could touch your dog could make a difference. Really very different. Anyway, the upshot of it was that we all went on and we formed people-type partnership, and that's exactly where we got. And I kept going with my T-Touch, and I've been doing it since then, and I absolutely love the work. So what I'd like to do today is to give you just a little bit of insight into what it is. And I've got three very nice volunteers. I'm not sure, Rowena, did they volunteer or did you set them up?
I'm afraid
it's
one of them.
I'm afraid
they get volunteered for all these things.
Oh, that's good. Well, I'm going to ask my volunteers to kindly come up to the front. And I'm going to show you and talk you through how we do the T-Touch. And then they're going to come round. And I'm hoping I can teach them in 5 minutes what's taking me years to learn. Do you know the beauty about T-Touch is it doesn't matter if you don't do it 100% correct. Because the beauty about it is because you're not going to do any harm. And that's what's so important. You're not going to do any harm. So I'm going to show you how we do the basic clouded leopard. And that is the first touch that we teach anybody that comes into the T-Touch training for the first time.
Clouded? Sorry, what was that word?
Clouded. Clouded. It's like a cloud. As we touch, it's like a cloud landing on you. And the leopard is the fact that I don't really, I know why it's called leopard, because that's the touch that Linda did first time on a leopard, a snow leopard. So all the touches are named after animals. At Linda's request, Linda Tellington Jones is the person who developed this method. And she's, I think she's about 82 now, 83, and she still travels the world teaching it. She's an amazing lady with horses and with dogs. And I'm very fortunate that her sister is one of my closest friends. So I'm very lucky. I'm finding difficulty with this, so I might call Amanda and ask her to take it from me before I get to this lure. To do the T-Touch, what we do is the first thing you need to do is to get two hands. You don't need anything else other than your hands. Now, I'm going to show you what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it on my arm. No, I'm not going to do it on someone's back. Now, you've got black on. Sorry, I don't know your name.
Renee.
So, Renee, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get Renee to stand here. Now, the first thing we do when we introduce ourselves to the dog, we use the back of the hand, and we call this the llama touch. So I've got the back of my hand, and I'm stroking it down Renee's back. And if you'd like to give feedback, Renee, that would be really good. How does that feel?
It's really nice.
It's really nice. Does it feel as though you like some more?
Yes.
So, I hope you all hear that. She says it's a... So the basic touch is where I take my fingers, and if you touch your hand and put your first finger of the other hand over where the first joint is at the top, so your palms upside down. You've got your fingers on the other hand and you're laying it against the first joint. That's the one that we're going to be bending. So that makes the contact to the person's body. Your other hand is going to be touching you, the person as well, or the dog. And you're going to sit there with your fingers just resting. That part of the fingers are on the back. And now I'm going to think of making a connection. So there's my touch. There's the cloud landing. There's the touch. Now I'm going to take my fingers and I'm going to take them in a circle. Up to 12, down through 3, 6, up to 9, and pause. Come down again. I'm going to start down at 6, up to 9, 12, 3, 6, and up to about 7 or 8, and 9. your weight, and I'm just going to release my hands out slowly. So then that's one, and I can do that one again, and I can slide on, or I can do one and a quarter, take my hand off, and then move it. So what we're going to do while you sit and play with that just right, you can practice on your leg, you can practice on your arm, wherever you feel the need for. But to the people who are sitting beside, the volunteers beside, the idea is the fingers are slightly raised. That part of the finger is touching the arm and the thumb makes contact. So if you've only got your fingers and then suddenly you put the thumb on, the person you're going to makes feels the connection even better. If you agree to teach, you can let me know by saying yes or no. I don't care. We'll just go a little further. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get everybody, so I'm going to start here. So Vicky, what I'm doing, and Louise, I'm going to show you what I want you to do, and then I'm going to let you feel it. So your thumb makes a connection, your fingers are connecting through there, through this part. I'm going to take my fingers from 6 up to 12. My fingers flatten out as I go around the circle. So, can you feel that?
I can feel it. I like people brush it
out. You always get one. So,
don't feel the pressure.
How does that pressure feel now?
It's nice.
It's nice. Okay. And then I'm going to connect the circle. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get you to take that. Can you take that and try it on Louise's back to see and see what she feels? Randall, I'm going to let you feel it.
Oh yeah. Okay. No worries.
Stop. Hey, this is going to be good.
So, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to make the initial connection, and then I'm going to take my fingers and I'm going to do that 1 1/4 circle.
Now when you're working with a man, it's sometimes like working with a big dog. They're muscled and it doesn't...
No, a big dog's an Irish Wolfhound puppy, which I have. So anyway, this is the 1 1/4 circle. Now, how does that feel? That's often the normal reaction. So, what I want you to do is I want you to go and do that to Renee, and she's going to tell you like what I did. So when we're working with people, we put make the connection by having our hands on the front of the body. So if you're working with people, put your hands in, and that keeps you in balance. Because if you take that hand away, you'll fall forward. But you can't help yourself, you just do it. Love it. So stay with your fingers and let them relax, let them soften. Your fingers are actually flattening. These have got to bend. Yeah, it doesn't really work if you've got claw nails, but never mind. If you do more than one circle and the one spot, it's like a massage and your nervous system doesn't land as much as what it does when you do the 1 1/4 circles. How many of you have had a massage? How many of you have walked away feeling really, really good and then after a few hours it sort of disappears into the great yoga? When you do the T-touch, that feeling stays longer with you and the nervous system actually learns from it. When we do the touches, as with on the dogs, we do maybe 1, 2, or 3, maybe 4, but we keep moving the whole time. And then when we do the circle, 1 1/4 circle, we might do just 1 and then take our hand off. It's in the hands of the dog's body and our body that our nervous system has the opportunity to learn. If we keep doing it over and over again, it doesn't mind. We have to take our hands off. It also lets the dogs know that we are listening to them and we will stop. Because we can say to someone else, don't do that, I don't like it. But what does the dog do? Most of these dogs are so compliant that they just stand there and let you do it. So when you're doing a couple of circles, just, you know, when you're doing them on the quarter circles, just do a couple and then take your hand off and pause. P-A-W-S. And that stands for Pause Awakens Wondrous Sensation. How about that for a command? Okay, we use all these funny things, but not today. So, are you ready? Can I release you to the general public?
Okay.
So I'm going to come around and myself, and just to sort of keep it covered, let you know. And if you want me to show you what it feels like, I'm more than happy to. So, we're on our way. Okay, just, you're just going to be walking around doing a couple to... Okay, so, I'm sorry, but I might have you through some microphone. Is that okay for a few minutes?
Yeah, I think it's like if you have one of those energy signs, I don't know.
Excuse me, that's one thing I forgot to mention, that when we start doing the clothing leopard, we usually go clockwise. But if you start doing it and you find that your fingers completely insist on you going anti-clockwise, go with it, because that's what the dog is telling you. So it's like this. If I come up to you and go like that, it's a nice introduction. And you call that the llama.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got 40 minutes.
Yeah, she's not like that. No, she's not. Circulation, helps the lymphatic system, helps the nervous system, that kind of thing. what different effect does doing this technique have to massage?
With a human being and the nervous system, it makes you feel good while you're having it done, but the nervous system doesn't learn anything from it. It's when you do it and move on, it's in the pause in between doing the circles that the nervous system learns. It learns, you've given the information that it has the ability to move. Each cell in our body has its own individual job within us to do, and the nerves fire like synapses, so they're firing the whole time. If we keep working on it all the time, you don't know, and you just keep getting this over and over and over and over. By doing the 1 1/4 circle, pausing, and then moving on, that's why we only maybe do 1 or 2 or 3 or 4. We don't keep going over and over in the same place. We actually still move, but it's when we take our hands off that us and the dog's body, or anything with the nervous system, actually learns. So that's the difference. Does that make sense? You start at 6, but the first thing you always do, it doesn't matter where your hand's positioned, you always think of the clock face where you do the lift first. If you don't do the lift first, you end up dragging the skin and it's really uncomfortable. So by allowing your fingers to lift and do that 1 1/4 circle, takes you back to where you started. The reason we do 1 1/4 instead of 1 is if we just finish doing a 1 circle, we don't always join the circle. We think we are, but we don't. So we add a little bit at the end to make sure that they do complete the circle. So, the other thing I'd like to teach you is one thing which the dogs all dogs love, and a couple of people have mentioned it to me, that the dogs are a little bit sensitive about where the hand sits on your body. And this is something which is quite, I've noticed with some of the guide dogs that I've worked with, Eric Rosodia, that this is something that the dogs can have. And it's because, you know, when you think about it, they go back in at 12, 14 months and suddenly they've got a harness on. And those dogs might never have had a harness on since they were a puppy out there with the harness on. So we call it the zebra. In any of the books that they've had in the past, it was always called the zigzag. And we all know, we can imagine the zigzag like the dog. So you think of like peaks. Now, the thing is with the zigzag, Linda decided a few years ago that
she really wanted
an animal name for it. The animal name came the zebra. And if any of the volunteers that I've got would like to come and try the zebra, I can show you, because this is something that's really worthwhile, and I'll come and make sure that every person that wants to gets a chance to feel what the zebra is like and have a look at it with your dogs. Is that okay?
Yes.
Oh, okay. You'd love to do that. This is one that you can actually do when you've got your dog, and you're walking with your dog, and you stop at the park lights, or you sit and have a coffee. This is something you can just do with your dog, even when it's near the harness. And it is so good for the dogs, because the dogs virtually go, and they just see them sort of think, oh, that's lovely, thank you. People are unfortunately exactly the same.
Okay, so.
Okay, Vicky. So, what we're doing is we start off by having our fingers here. Now, our fingers are making the connection with the dog on the side. And then we take our fingers, as we go over the dog's back, our fingers open up, and then we come back, they close. And we can go all the way down the dog's body doing this. Now, on the person, it's so easy because they've got a broad back. On the dog's back is not as wide. But we can make it work anyway. So we get down there, and then we're going to come back up. And it's quite an even rhythm. Now, I'm going to change something. Where does that feel?
Oh, beautiful.
So I'm going to change something, and I want to tell you when you can, if you can tell me when I change it. Can you feel the difference?
It felt thinner, slow, thinner.
It felt different.
It definitely felt different. So what, I can't tell what you did.
What I did was I locked my knees, and it's as simple as that, to change how she feels this touch. By locking my knees. And it's really, it is. And we do the same when we're working with our dogs as well. That if we are doing something like this and we lock our knees, or more importantly, what we usually do when we're like, what do you normally do when you're learning something new?
Stop breathing.
Yes.
We think if we
hold our breath, we'll learn it quicker. Wrong. Doesn't work. You have to keep breathing. It's really important for you and the dog. Especially for you, because if you stop breathing, the dog's got in trouble. So you keep breathing. And it's as simple as that. If you hold your breath, you change how you make a connection with the dog or the person. So, let's go. Renee, you felt it? The zigzag or the zebra? Okay, come up here now. You felt it? Yes. It's going to stand there and say no. So, what it is, I've made that connection, my fingers go across, as you go across, I open them, as you come back, I close them. And it's, you'll take this down the dog's back.
So, go across?
Yeah. Now, this is where I'm going to get my own dog out and show you exactly how it goes. So, and now I'm going to get Sally out, and you'll notice I'm not going to let her face the audience. So for the volunteers, it's a case of only two, sorry. We put up, make contact with the hands on the shoulders, roughly, and we start doing a zigzag, and we can cross our hands over, and then we can come back down. When we get to the dog's leg, we can finish and just flick it off. If the dog is lying on its side, we just start here and go down with one hand. So it's a touch that you can use if your dog is lying down. If your dog is in harness and you're, say, sitting having a coffee, you can take one hand and you can go down one side, bring it over, turn your wrist around and go down the other side. So you can see my fingers are opening as I go down the body, as I come up to the spine they close and then turn and go down again. So this is the zebra. So, we're going to come round now. Louise, did you want to
know what it was like? I've
got Vicky to do it on it. Okay, let's go. So.
Yeah. Thank you. you know, down their body and then you like the back and then you come in and use the
this is a test of a lot more than anything. why do we have to
have a cross?
This is why you can.
And crossing the hemisphere
is very good for your brain. Yes. 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 And at the end you're meant to go, thank you. Oh, I've got it. And then you've got to do it. Thank you.
zebra. Is everybody enjoying the zebra?
Yes.
Yep. Yes. So, have you noticed any difference in your dog since you've been doing a wee bit of this tea touch? She's really asleep now. Isn't that strange? You know, when we work with the puppies, say 8 weeks, 9 weeks, we get about 30 seconds of working them, and they're all over the place, they're wriggling, they're squirming, they're jumping, they're doing everything that puppies do. And you do about 30 seconds of work, and suddenly you look around and you've got all these puppies sound asleep. It's brilliant. I love this work. So, the other thing I'd like to teach you is something that we all do. So, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
When you touch your dog, where's the first place you touch? And anybody can answer this?
Round the shoulder.
Round the shoulder. Put your hand up so everybody can help on the head. Yes? Gentlemen, where's the first place you touch? Barry.
Oh, usually the head. Yeah.
Usually the head. Glenn? Just the head? Head and shoulders.
Under the chin.
Yes. Under the chin, the chest. How many of you, without realizing it, I can just about guarantee this is the first place you touch? How many of you actually touch their ears?
Yes.
And so if I ask that question again, where's the first place you touch your dog?
Yes.
The ears. I think it's something all people are born with. The first thing you do with the dog is you touch its ears. Because their ears, it doesn't matter whether they're prick ears or ears that fall over, they're usually the softest part around the dog. So we have this absolutely magic touch called the ear touch. And we call it ear work because we use ear work on an awful lot. It's usually one of my first, actually, I better rephrase it. I have a lot of first go-to touches. It depends on the dog I'm working with. But with the ear touch, when you actually stroke the ear, we always start from the base of the ear to the tip. And the stroke is when we just the ear, but we stroke it with an even pressure and we cover the whole ear. Maybe we might do it 2 or 3 times to cover the whole ear. The reason we work on the ear is because the dogs have their every dog has its acupressure points in its ear. And you might not know it, it should be. So whenever we work our ears, you ever see anybody sort of stroking their ears either up or down? And just you think, my goodness, I wonder what they're worried about. Or have felt like doing it yourself, but you suddenly find yourself just stroking your ear. We're actually calming ourselves down because that's where all our acupressure points are in our body. We don't need to know where they are, just work your ears. Robin, my sister, travels the world. And she said many a time she stopped the person sitting next to her using the sick bag by showing them how to work their ears. It's very effective. And it's wonderful for the dogs because the dogs learn, we've got someone who's asleep. But more than one. So when you work the dog's ears, you actually can change how they feel about themselves. The shock point for a dog if it ever gets, say, knocked or hit or banged or gets involved in an accident is the tip of its ear, because that's the top of our ears. With the dog, it's the tip of their ears. So if anything happens, it gives you something to do. I was once doing a training in Perth, and the girl who organised it, her dog got out before we even started and got hit by it. So she was in there, but she was a wreck. And the dog was hurt, so I gave her the ear work to do. I showed her how to do it quickly. It went off, and when they got to the vet, the dog was actually sitting up, shaking its head, saying, "I'm ready to go." Aye, what do you want me to do? I'm in it. And the vet said to her that it was the quickest he'd ever seen a dog recover from the bang that the dog had got. The dog had got from the car. And that was working the ears that brought the dog's blood pressure down, it increased its breathing, and it also helped the owner to calm down as well, because she had something to do that was affecting the dog in a nice way. So I'm going to show you how to do the ear slides. So if my friends, the sort of people that were roped in, if you want to come and learn how to do the ear slides, and then we'll get you to try that with the dogs themselves. So remember, you always start from the base of the ear, and that's where the ear meets the head. You never work from the tip towards the head, you always work from the head towards the point of the ear. And I must admit that Labradors, like Dalmatian, have the most wonderful ears to work with because they're so soft and they're right against their head, and I love working with them. They're my favourite ears, but please don't tell anybody that's got a German Shepherd I said that, because they get upset.
Sorry?
He's a little mini kitten. Well, if you've got the correct ears, with a mini kitten or with a dog that's got a pricked ear, you work from the base and you go up. It doesn't matter what type of dog you're working with, you always follow the dog's ear. You don't try to rearrange the dog's ear into what you want it to do. You go with the dog's ear. So when we're doing the ear work, I'll show you with Sally. So when I'm working with the dog, I like to, I'm going to put this down. I like to not stand over the dog, but stand behind the dog. And if I'm working, I work from the base and I stroke towards the tip. I like to keep my other hand on the dog because it gives the dog balance. It stops it from falling over. So I'm here, I can slide. Now, the thing is, we work one ear at a time. We don't go like 2 ears together, because once again, we're working with the nervous system. The nervous system can only think of one place at a time when it's being touched. The other thing we can do is we can take the whole ear in our hand and we can do what we call like the abalone touch. And we just do the 1 1/4 circle on the ear. We can come back and we can do a couple of strokes and then we can pause. Okay, and we take it. We don't do too many at a time. Once again, it's just doing a few, taking our hands off and letting the dog's nervous system learn. I don't know, I can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, I think about 15, 16. Actually, I can only see about 3 dogs awake. The rest of them are all asleep. So if you want to go around and just show people how to do the ear work, that's really good, because I'm just watching my time. How much more will I got, Melina?
It's 7 hours. Yeah.
20 minutes.
Oh, that's great, because then you can teach me the other way, which is one of my favorite words.
Anyway, let's do the ear touch. So we're on our
just the lower one.
So we're doing the stroking of the sliding ear slides. They're called ear slides. It's the ear touch, but it's called the ear slide. Whoops. Stay. So we actually stroke the ear. So we go always go from the base. And we go from the base right down the ear. We can pick up the whole ear and we can do a circle with the whole ear. And we get, this is the one touch where we can go clockwise and we go anti-clockwise. We can put our hand on the whole ear. And this can be very good for puppies or dogs that are a bit mousy. By actually putting the ear and just doing this. So you put the ear at the side of the face and you just do that 1 1/4 circle. And then you can move your fingers and do the circle on the ear. And because we're working close to the mouth, it can actually help. I use mouth work a lot with puppies, because they've got teeth and they think they should use them. And I don't mind them using them, except I don't like the useful thing that they're using on is me. So we can use the ear slides, which can help, or we can do the 1 1/4 circle on the ears as well. Now remember, when you do it, you only do one couple. Take your hands off and wait. Okay, let's go. So,
Yeah.
Is because dogs have very hard heads, and anybody here ever been hit on the chin by a dog suddenly? So you know what I'm talking about. It hurts. So we work from the side. That way we can then actually use our thumb, and if we need to, we can actually hook it into the collar underneath. And we're not restraining the dog. We're containing the dog, and there's a big difference. We talk about it a lot in the tea touch, that containment against restraint. And containment means we can contain the dog, but we would like it to stay. Restraining means that we're not going to let the dog move at all. And I'm sure you all know the difference between that. If someone comes up and gives you a really hard hug, and you don't think you're really like that person, that's like a restraint. Whereas if someone you do like, that's maybe containment, big difference. So what we're doing with ear slice, if we work from the side, it gives us that opportunity to be able to stroke his ear. Like he's thinking about it. Yeah, he's thinking about it. So I just take my hand off him when he thought about it. Good cool. Well, if my ear is sore, I'd be protective of it too. We sometimes forget that the dogs, it's the only way they can tell us, is by their actions, not necessarily by it. They can't say it. So if they lie on their ear, then maybe that's the something that you've got to listen to. We talk about, in the detach, we talk about dogs. What we want the dog to do is talk to us in whispers. And when the dog's actually loudly barking at us, we call it shouting at us, because we are not listening. So when my dog starts shouting at me, like when they're at the front door, it's to tell me to awaken up because there's something there that they don't like. When they start doing a little quiet bark, then I know it's someone I know and they know. So I have to listen to the difference. So think about listening in whispers as to letting them shout at us. So,
is there any way that you shouldn't do the circles on?
Not that I know.
Could you repeat the question just so you might remember?
Sorry, the question was, is there any way on the dog that you shouldn't do the circles on? Not really, except when a dog is lying down and you're doing some work with it. Sometimes we think, oh, there's an expression that we use a lot, so Moshe Feldenkrais, well, less is more. And sometimes if we do too much, the dog has to let us know that we can do. That's when sometimes we get this, what we call rolling on the back. We call that flowing around. And when that happens, we've either got to listen to what the dog's telling us, or if the dog's flowing around to make us go away, we take our hands off them and wait. So if the dog does that, and then we automatically get a tummy tickle, it's who's training who. It's not necessarily us that's training the dog, it's the other way around. And just in case you haven't noticed, the past masters are training us, all of them. And we are such compliant people or beings, we just do it. Because we think, oh, isn't that cute? So sometimes we've got to look between what is the dog is telling us it doesn't like and what it's training us to do, which is very interesting at times. So if the dog rolled over on its back and I've been, say, doing a little bit of work on, say doing the zebra on him, and then suddenly he rolled on his back and presented his thumb, I would most likely take my hands off and wait. And then if he went back on his side, I might do just a couple more and then take my hands off and see what happened then. If you really wanted to give the dog a tummy tickle, then I would put it on cue. So I'd say, okay, you've done your work, you've been a good boy, you've taken me for a walk, we've gone for a walk, we've done this, we've done that. How about you roll over and I give you a tummy tickle? No, I'm going to stick my tummy, tickle my tummy. And it's different. It's just, it's very subtle. But the dog knows exactly what it's doing. Does that answer your question?
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
Ow! Sorry, I got
wagged. You've been wagged in the face? That's what happens when you get a dog with a tail. Any questions? A question down the back? Yeah.
I've noticed that the dog's being here near the tail at the back on the side, and it's like a third of its spot. Is there a particular reason for that?
It would depend on the dog, and I really don't know the dog well enough to say why. My dog's when they want to touch, they come up and present whichever part of the body they want touched. Sometimes I end up with a button in my face, sometimes it's the shoulder. Sometimes it's the back, sometimes it's the head. My standard poodle, if I'm sitting, will come and put her nose between my legs so that I can put the ears either side on my leg to be able to do tea touch on her ears. So it depends. Did that help? Anybody else? No further questions? Wow. That's it's too much, Mr. Gambling. So we have to learn to use that expression less is more. So if we're doing that, we realise a little bit goes a long way. You don't need, I wouldn't even time it. You know, if I'm working with my dog and they come up and I'm say having a coffee, I might just do a little bit of air with them and they go, okay, and they walk off, they're quite happy, they've had that connection. It's just incidental. Or you might think, oh, maybe this is the time where I might sort of do a little bit of body work with them. Especially when you're learning, you might spend a little bit more time. But I certainly wouldn't say, oh, we've got to do 10 minutes every hour on the hour every day. That's a lot. But you, when your dog comes near you, you might just say, oh, I'm going to do a zigzag. Yeah, or a zebra. And that's really good. Not too often. It depends on your dog. Some dogs are more. Some dogs want more physical contact than others. So you work with what the dog's animal's got. I think he's going to sleep. Yes, I do.
Because you have quite a great little problem with Nessian field grass, and the last time here was absolutely dreadful, probably the worst. Declining and inclining are the two worst parts of the flight, and I'm gathering that is because of their ears. I haven't have been taught to give a dry cracker so she will swallow, but she will refuse to eat anything at all. So in that case, feeling her ears or trying to calm her, what would be the best method to use on an aeroplane?
I would use a lot of the ear work, just doing a little bit either side and then pausing, doing maybe one side. Depending on your sitting, which ear you would work with, or you could work with all ten ears. Now, I've just put a wrap on Rosie's dog. I'm sorry, I've forgotten the name. Now, you took it for a walk. Did that make any difference?
We can see the steps that she could do yesterday.
Would you like to see? Oh, tell us, Rosie.
Zadie just did the steps that she would all do yesterday.
Oh, wow.
And she was pretty comfortable. A little bit hesitant.
Oh, you're pretty comfortable. And she's not panting. No, she's not panting.
Not just like her legs were going out before she was
playing.
She was
yeah.
out there. She flattened her legs out the ground so her chest was getting the
ground. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
So this is the elastic bandage which we use, we call it a wrap. So something like this on your puppy might fit her, might help her. You put it on before she goes on the plane. I can fit it on her and you can try it over lunch to see how she goes with it. I bring them in from overseas. You can't get them in Australia anymore, but they're what we call our wraps. And the Thunder shirt is based upon her wraps. The guy who invented the Thunder shirt took that and made the Thunder shirt.
We might just finish up now because the hotel do want to make a little presentation of their own, but on behalf of our dogs, Andy, I'd like to say thank you very much for being here today, for sharing your knowledge, and there are T-Touch instructors and practitioners all around Australia, just Google T-Touch. You can get in touch with them in your local area, I'm sure. And I would actually like to see the T-Touch technique demonstrated and taught to all dog guide handlers as part of the training with their dog, so that we can use the body work and the ear work in times when the dog is a bit anxious or stressed, or we're feeling very anxious or stressed, because I feel just as chilled out as my dog is now. So it's obviously very therapeutic for dogs and people. So on behalf of the group here, thank you, Andy. And Andy is staying with us for lunch, so if you wanted to ask any further questions or hands-on demonstration, I'm sure she'd be happy to show you. So don't run away, please, because the Rebecca, our events manager, is coming for a presentation as well. But please join me in thanking Andy.
Thank you. Really, I do have a handout if anybody would like it, and it covers all the touches that we did today, and someone that you can have a look, or someone that can read it for you, or to guide you through it, because it does actually give you
instructions. Do you have that available in electronic format, so you could email it to me, and I could send it out to people, or by email?
Everybody that's here would probably hear for them, and I'll just check with Robin on a couple of things because there's copyright on them, and so I'll make sure that you get it.
Okay, thank you. That's great, thank you, Ray.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. Thank you to the dogs.
I'm actually the event coordinator for this. I've been working very close with Laura over the last couple of months, getting everything organised for you all for the last 2 days. On behalf of the hotel, we just want to say thank you for everything that you guys have done. You've well behaved, pretty much well behaved than all the other guests I've been seeing. Everyone in the dogs has been more well behaved than the other guests.
Who's
been
behaved? The dogs are
us. Been a very big pleasure to host this event in the last 2 days. It's the first that we've actually held at this hotel, and one of the first I've ever done with guide dogs. So it's been a very great pleasure, and We have a little gift when you do exit the door, which is a little gift for the dogs.
Thank you, Rebecca. On behalf of Dog Guide Handlers Australia, I would like to commend you and your staff for an exceptional event that really has gone above and beyond our expectations, and you really have gone above and beyond. For those that don't know, there is a tacked on welcome sign outside our conference room, all decorated with doggies type things. And all of your staff have been very considerate, very professional. And on behalf of the Dog Guide Handlers Australia, I'd like to present you with our doggy bag. All of your staff that have pet dogs, please can you take them home and share them with your dogs as well?
Yeah, absolutely. It was very great, all of our staff. We learned new skills that we need to know about and follow first if we get any guests who do think of just have a guide dog walking up the street. So it's very good knowledge that all of the staff and
Our office and restaurant have actually been booked. So I'm going to hand over to Leon, our
restaurant manager.
Hi everyone, today I'm hoping you had a good conference so far.
Oh yeah.
Great. Well, I'd like to tell you about the best part of the day, and that's lunch in the restaurant. Okay, so I've just got a few menu items, I just want to tell you so that you're aware, you can start thinking about what you want to eat before you get up there. Okay, so we have a soup today. We have carrot and pumpkin soup. Alright, we've got the slow cooked lamb, keftiko, nice lamb dish that just falls apart. Okay, we've got steamed barramundi, citrus and wasabi dressing.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, we've got some Peruvian spiced chicken, stir fried noodles, saffron rice, steamed broccoli, potato gratin, which is potato with cream. Yeah, that's right, yeah, you know.
No calories.
Can you say what's gluten-free, please? Okay, so gluten-free would be the lamb is gluten-free, the chicken is gluten-free, the rice is gluten-free, the steamed broccoli is also gluten-free. Alright, we've got chili octopus as well today. That will be gluten-free. We've got salt and pepper calamari. That is not gluten-free. Okay, we've got potato salad, gluten-free. Quinoa salad, which is gluten-free and dairy-free. We have dolmades, which is the vine leaves, yes. Tomato and bocconcini, which is also gluten-free. Beetroot salad, gluten-free and dairy-free. And we've got some salads, rocket and partisan, which is gluten-free. A garden salad, which is gluten-free. And as well today, we have seafood on the buffet. So we've got prawns, oysters, squid, mussels, Moreton Bay bites. We've got some sushi as well. Okay. And we've got baked salmon as well.
Yeah,
might have been steak forever, man. And we've got lots of dessert pastries. Unfortunately, none of them are gluten-free, but if someone does want a dessert, we can just come up to us and let us know you want a gluten-free dessert, we can do something for you.
Fruit.
Yeah. Fruit's not a dessert. Sorry. Okay. And as well, we have a range of cheeses, our brie, cheddar, blue cheeses. So there's quite a lot of options. I've probably only listed about half of the items on there, but at least you've got an idea of what you want to have when you get to the restaurant. Okay? Ask a lovely staff, you can get you any drinks you like, soft drinks, juices, tea and coffee, to say good morning. All right, guys, I hope to see you shortly up in the restaurant. Thank you.
This has been a Dog Guide Handlers Australia audio presentation. If you would like further information on Dog Guide Handlers Australia or like to listen to further audio, please go to our website www.dgha.org.au. Thank you. Do you always have to have the last word?